Father, as we've listened to your written word, I pray that through my spoken word, we may encounter the living word, even Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Seated. Well, good morning, anyone. My name is Judas. No, not that Judas. You've got the wrong one. They always do that. There's only one Judas in the world. Now, I'm Judas, son of James. Do you know I was one of the 12 apostles? They often forget that, don't they? They seem to think about the big ones and forget us small ones that don't really matter. Anyway, I shouldn't begrudge. I've been asked to come and tell you my story. My story about those amazing events that took place around Pentecost, just after Jesus went up to heaven. See, it all started on that hillside when Jesus disappeared, literally up into the clouds. We had no idea where he went, and we were quite confused. So we decided to stay together. Well, what else could we do? Many of us had left homes. Many of us had left jobs and family. We set off to follow Jesus. Where else did we go? Do you know, it had been really amazing to follow Jesus. We really enjoyed being in his company. We witnessed miracles in those long days huddled in that upper room. We told stories, remembering when he healed that person, or when he cast out the demon from that one. Oh, that amazing occasion on the hillside when he broke the bread and the fish. And 5,000 people, or 5,000 men and women and children, they all got fed. It was like walking around in a walking miracle. And of course, the resurrection, that was the greatest miracle of all. Totally changed our world. It totally and utterly changed our world. Changed it down to our very bones. He even gave us new breath. But what I remember most fondly about Jesus was, well, his stories. He seemed to have a story for every occasion. He seemed to be able to communicate to people in a really easy fashion. But maybe it was those one-on-one encounters. That just look of kindness. The way he looked at someone, no matter what they'd done, and just loved them. And now he's gone. He's gone. And all we could do was gather in that upper room and tell stories. Shared what we'd heard and what we'd seen. But we sat and we looked at each other and we waited. And we waited. Oh yes, didn't I tell you that was the last thing that Jesus told us to do? He said, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. What did he mean by that? Was it another of those parables? You know, another of those puzzles we'll be able to try and unpick. Clothed from power from on high. We struggled to understand the parables. We definitely didn't understand the rewriting of the law. And when he died, well, it was really, really difficult. So he followed what he said in the first part. You know, we stayed in the city. And we prayed. We prayed as Jesus taught us, and we waited. We waited. I had begun to learn some things from Jesus over those 3 years, though. He would often talk about time. He used to say, my time has not yet come. Of course, he wasn't talking about a sense of timing. It wasn't some sense of the advancing clock-like time. you know, the sort of time that you and I live in. He was talking about his time. He was talking about living in the moment, living in the present, doing things just when God tells us to do it, even though we don't know it at the time. So in that waiting time, sitting in Jerusalem, as we waited for God's moment to come. Yes, we lived in continuous time. We did have to do the shopping. We did have to do the cooking. But we also waited. We waited for God to act. Do you know something? I really recommend you take the opportunity to live deeper waiting on God. It does help the old anxiety, you know, to live in the moment. But why were we waiting? It goes back to that phrase, being clothed with power from on high. We sat there in that upper room for those 10 days and we just pondered what on earth clothed with power from on high could mean. Yet Jesus had taught us, when he came back from death, he spent hours and hours going through the scriptures, trying to explain to us, and wow, was he a great teacher. He helped us explain that Messiah had to suffer, that had to rise from the dead on the third day. But Jesus was most insistent. We had to wait for the power. And he said, it's for your good that I'm going to go away, because when I do, I will send another helper to be with you. Another helper. Do you know something? That didn't sound much like good news at the time. We didn't want him to go. And who was this other helper? Would we recognise him when he came in the door? How would we know he'd come to us? I wish he wouldn't have spoken in riddles and puzzles and parables. I wish he'd been a bit more clear. Well, the Feast of Pentecost was approaching, and we still gathered like a sheep without a shepherd. We prepared for Pentecost. We went through the prayers. We went through the rituals. We continued to act like observant Jews. Well, of course, that's what we were. But something was missing. Didn't know how to describe it. It was almost like we were going through the motions. There was nothing there. What does a community need when it is understood that something new is going to happen? When change is underway, but we just don't know what it's about. And what he's asking us to do. Do we need better understanding? Do we need to sit down and make a plan? I'm not sure that would work. I think more than anything, we needed the courage just to keep believing. The courage to know that we were doing the right thing. Maybe it was that sense of something deep within us that just would assure us that he was still with us. Maybe that's what the wait to be clothed with power meant. Maybe that's what Jesus meant, that we had to wait on him. Well, the Feast of Pentecost arrived, and we were gathered together in that upper room. Yeah, there was us apostles, and there was Jesus' family, his brothers, and his mum Mary, and a few other people that we gathered around us at the time. And the room suddenly filled with wind. That seemed to come from afar. It was like a big blast of wind off the ocean or a desert. I can't describe it. It was like the howl of wind you get in a cave or on a mountainside. And yet it was fresh. It was cooling. And yet it crackled. It crackled like fire. And we looked at the windows and there was nothing happening outside. Outside it was calm. Inside it was mayhem. We couldn't account for this roaring, invisible, electric rush of air, this sense of energy in the room, this sense of change. Were we about to be caught up in some sort of whirlwind? Were we going to go up into the heavens and join Jesus up in the clouds? We prayed. Of course we prayed. We prayed even louder and even more urgently. God protect us. Keep us safe. We started praying that prayer he taught us. You know, the one, you know, our Father in heaven, thy kingdom come, your will be done. And as we prayed that thy kingdom come communal prayer, suddenly we burst into 100 different prayers. Our words had begun in unison, but somehow they reproduced themselves in an odd yet fervent line of syllables that, well, we haven't got a clue what we're talking about, really. It was as if we were thinking things in our heads and wanting to say things, but something completely different was coming out of our mouths. It was as if we were not even speaking our own language. I would try and articulate what was going on, and my tongue and my throat would do something else. And yet it was beautiful. Yet it was different, it was true, it was strong, it was clear. Each one of us, excited, speaking in a language that was different to the other. But in my head was the story of the resurrection, the story that I've been hearing. It was in my head, but I was saying something different. And it was getting clearer, but totally unintelligible. There was a knock on the door. The door flew open. There was a crowd gathering outside. I think they were wondering what the heck was going on in that house. We wondered who on earth they were. What did they want? From the look of it, they were foreigners. They seemed to come from every corner of the Mediterranean. Well, we stopped praying. So the people on the street in our doorway, we could hear what they were saying. And they were just saying in their halting Hebrew, their halting Aramaic, how is it that Galileans are speaking all our languages? Why are you telling us God's mighty works in our language? In a dozen different languages that you speak, we understand you. We're no longer outside the camp. We're no longer not allowed into the temple because we're Gentile. We can hear the different languages plainly telling us what you're on about. What's happening? Why? So Peter, it would be him, wouldn't it? It had to be him. He stood on a table and started to preach. Look, friends, Peter was no preacher. He was a fisherman. And a bit of a clod as a fisherman. He kept putting his foot in it with Jesus all the time. And he's the one who gets on the table and decides he wants to preach a sermon. But yet, the words he spoke were eloquent and clear. And he was using scriptures and justifying and explaining what was going on in a way that I've never seen Peter do ever before. And the rest of us, well, we started talking ourselves in little groups to the people who seemed to understand the language that we were telling. They forget about the little conversations that were going on with the other people with the different languages. They all focus on Peter. But we were doing it too. I tell you. And we began to realise that this was the new helper. This was the Holy Spirit who had given us, well, courage, power, ability, communication. All those things that we completely lacked to tell anybody at all about what we were doing. You see, without that Holy Spirit coming, we've been sat together in one room and we were telling one another the story. We were telling the story, but we were telling it to one another. We stayed indoors. With the Holy Spirit, he pushed us out of the doors. And yet, we told the same story. We told exactly the same thing. It's just that, well, we've been clothed with power. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't put Jesus' teaching into words. We struggled and clumsily put our foot in it. We were puzzled. We struggled to understand those weird parables. But with the Holy Spirit, our words became simple. We just simply told them what Jesus had done. And amazing things happened. You see, my friends, you don't have to be important Peter. You could be one of the minor ones, one of the ones that people forget. They might just call you the traitor by mistake. You could be insignificant and think you're really small, but actually you can make a big change. Just tell your story. Just tell your story. And that Holy Spirit will give you the power to share about Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit came for at Pentecost. Why don't you spend some time waiting and praying? Then you can be clothed with power and pray thy kingdom come. Amen.